Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Get on up, because Daryl's dead. Inside. Welcome back, yeah. Everybody. we're recording this one day after watching it, which is new for us. We're going to put this out much quicker than usual. Look, I'm going to give you a heads up on the spoiler alert before AMC blows it, because if you haven't heard yet, after the show aired last night, Ben, on the East Coast and in the Midwest, AMC posted a huge spoiler that we will address shortly before the Mountain or Pacific time zones could watch the show. Oops. That's not including all of the people who, like, you know, DVR'd it, all that sort of stuff. But anyways, you've been warned. If you haven't watched yet, turn off the show. Come back in an hour.
Click X on the browser, go watch The Walking Dead, or read on Wikipedia. I don't care which one you do.
I'm giving you so much warning about what we will be, you know, this is the last show of the year. We're not going to hold back. We're not going to pull any punches. It's going down. So, you've been warned. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Le spoiler alert for our friends in France.
Le spoiler alert.
Well, let's start with the first test. Let's just go from the beginning real quick and just talk about the episode. Let's knock that out now. Opening scene, we pick up with Officer Guy.
Lamson.
Thank you. Running down the street and Rick chasing him on foot. Then Rick gets in the cop car, gets on the PA system, and says, stop. And then he says, please stop. I'm asking you to stop. Lamson does not stop. Then Rick says, this is your last warning. He doesn't stop. So Rick guns it. And Lamson says, oh, shit. And then gets rammed by the police, like the ultra-reinforced steel police ram, and breaks the dude's back. And he's laying there on the concrete, and my favorite moment of the episode happens. He looks down, and Bob says something to this guy's first name is Bob, and he says something about, you know, his men back there. And Rick looks at him and says, we can't go back, Bob.
Just like Gareth to Eaton, Bob. See, no, my favorite part comes literally right after that, is when... You know, he's begging for his life, trying to apologize to Rick. Rick just shoots him, and it says, shoots him in the head, kills him. He goes, shut up.
Yeah, I liked that.
And just walks away. Like
crazy Rick. Crazy Rick makes me happy.
I watched that, and I'm like, holy shit, that is Survivor Rick now.
Yeah. So then Rick goes back and tells the other cops that he killed their boy. And rather than being upset, they're like, all right, well, he died from getting eaten by walkers. And Rick's like, what? And then the other bald cop is like, yep. God, it's too bad that he got eaten by walkers. Because they were like, because this trade is never going to work if she thinks you shot him. Like, if she thinks you killed him. So as far as we're concerned, he got eaten by walkers. And I was like, all right, these people may not be bastard people after all. And it turns out that they weren't. For the most part, they weren't bastard people. Agreed?
Agreed.
For the most part, the hospital people were not bastard people. Couple bad eggs ruined the bunch, but, you know, they're not all bastard people. All right, so I don't even want to talk about the Father Gabriel. Father Gabriel's an idiot.
He's a fucking moron.
He might be he's got to die because he's got to be the stupidest motherfucker on the planet. He breaks out of the hospital or out of the church, goes back to the school because he wants to see proof that the hunters ate Bob. You know, because the dude missing his leg already, just randomly, when you saw him yesterday with it, wasn't enough to tip your scales? See, like, really? So that fucking idiot goes back there, sees Bob's leg making a reappearance, everybody, looking good, too. Covered in maggots. Oh, beautiful. And sure enough, all the walkers in that school, like we talked about and sort of predicted would happen, break out of the school. However... Since Gabriel now gets the Laurie Award for being the stupidest fucking character the show has ever seen, He lures them all back to the church. He doesn't try to outrun them or, like, lead them off his path. He just goes straight back. It's just preposterous. So he leads them back to the church, and now he's standing outside the church shouting, "Please let me in, they're after me." And I was like, oh, they should leave him out there. I was like, because this is a callback to his story from earlier. So I was like, fuck that guy, he's an idiot, leave him out there. Ben, you take over, I need to take a break, I'm mad.
And so with that, you know, Carl and Michonne are both in the church, and they hear this. They don't know that it's Father Gabriel. They still think that he's in his office. So they have no idea that it's him. And then, you know, Carl starts trying to break down the door, and Michonne comes over and just starts hacking at it. And they let him in. And then the horde of walkers comes in. And then they go back into Father Gabriel's office and escape through the hole that he had already dug in the ground prior to what he escaped out before. And a part of me thinks that if Rick was just there, and he found out that Father Gabriel endangered not only Michonne, but Carl and Judith, I kind of have a feeling Rick would have killed Father Gabriel.
We better hope that he doesn't find out. Yeah, because that'll happen.
He would literally
sure.
kill the man.
Yeah, that'll happen for sure.
So that happened, and, you know, then they get out, and they are able to shut the walkers inside. And then, lo and behold, Abraham just comes through the fucking woods in the fire truck with everybody else and just runs in front of the church like,
it's amazing.
Why not?
It's amazing to me that he instinctively knew to plow the front steps out of there and barricade the door with the fire truck. I was like, how did you know to do that? I don't really care because it's a fictional piece of fun, and it just was nice for the hooray cheer moment, but I was like, that's pretty amazing that you were like, I think I sense that they're in trouble. I better block the door.
Well, he probably saw them when he was driving, is what I imagine. Because, I mean, when they got out, they all started walking over to them.
I don't know, but the way that they made that church seem, it seemed like it was sort of like tucked away, and then all of a sudden you were just there. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's unimportant.
And so then they get out of the truck, you know, Maggie and Glenn and Tara and Rosita and Eugene. Not Eugene. Eugene's still, like, knocked out. Abraham. They'll get out, and they're like, well, you know, Beth's alive. They went to the hospital in Atlanta to find her, and, you know, they're all like, all right, we're all going to go. So they all pile into the fire truck, and they're off. And so, meanwhile, you have Rick and Daryl deciding what they want to do with the two cops. And they're like, well, we have to do this transfer now, even though the third one's dead. So you have that happening. Then you have what's happening inside of the hospital. And you have more tension between Officer O'Connell and Dawn.
Just for everyone who's paying attention at home real quick, O'Connell is the one who was, like, always mean to the old people, and he was just kind of a dick all the time. Every time you saw him in the show, he was a dick.
And then you have this verbal argument between O'Connell and Dawn, and you kind of almost feel some sympathy for Dawn, because she starts her skew of justice isn't flawed like O'Connell's is. O'Connell, like she said, was, you know, laughing at this girl that got raped, you know, pushing around the elderly while she's trying to fight for people to be safe. Now, albeit it's not the greatest tactic in the world, she still has a shred of humanity. So you're, even through the end of the episode, I still felt very torn on Dawn. It wasn't like the governor, you knew you hated him. It wasn't like Gareth, you knew you hated him. Dawn, I felt very torn on. So then you have this whole altercation between those two, and Beth is just there, just watching it all go down. And then O'Connell and, Dawn get into a physical altercation, which at one point O'Connell has Dawn pinned up against the wall, and then Beth tries to get in and gets slapped around like a little bitch. And then Dawn knocks the officer down, and then Beth pushes him out of the, where the elevator used to be, where she and Noah were, but Beth and Noah first escaped and went down that shaft. She pushes him down that, and he dies. And then Dawn thanks her. And it was just kind of a really, like, weird moment, because you don't know how to feel about Dawn.
I know how I feel about her. Her crazy eyes still make me hot.
Well, besides the crazy eyes.
Can't explain it, man. When she gets crazy eyes, man, I'm into that actress. When she gets crazy eyes, I'm like, oh, hello. But that's beside the point. She's a character that I, for whatever reason, have just never felt I've never felt strongly that she was bad or good. Like, I don't think she really knew. I use the past tense because we're getting to it. Well, then, two of her cops pull up onto the top of a parking garage, and Rick is standing there. And tells them that he's Rick Grimes, and for whatever reason mentions that he is a sheriff's deputy again, something that I haven't heard him, like, even reference in fucking 3 years, maybe? It was weird to hear him say those words again.
Well, the reason why I think that was brought up was because in the episode prior to this, you know, one officer said, well, are you a cop? Because you talk, you have the demeanor like a cop. And he didn't say anything. So I'm thinking that maybe that was just more of, I'm human like you guys, I'm not just some savage beast like hunters, okay. I actually have a shred of humanity left. That's what I thought that was.
Yeah, and then the second best moment in the show happened. The one cop, you know, Rick says, you know, I want to make a deal, and they ask him to put his gun on the ground, and he does. Rick said, puts it down, Holt keeps his hands up, and then a walker shows up kind of in the back of the parking structure. And one of Dawn's cops asks, where are your people? And all of a sudden, you hear a sniper bullet, and the walker goes down. And Rick just goes, they're close. That's a really awesome moment. He just goes, they're close. And, like, there were lots of really good, like, tension moments in this. Like, they gave me the feeling through the whole thing that at any second things could go really, really wrong.
You know, one thing before we get into some of the major stuff, though, was before that part happens, you have this little nice dialogue between Tyrese and Sasha, where Tyrese talks about, you know, when he and Sasha were kids, you know, how she always used to follow him around, and they always, you know, used to do these innocent kid-like things, and he goes, well, what's happened to us? We've changed. And she goes, well, I've changed. She goes, you haven't. And the fact that, you know, Tyrese admitted to the fact that he didn't kill Martin, the guy that was, you know, threatening to kill Judith back in the cabin, like in episode two, who Rick's group, you know, mercilessly slaughtered inside Father Gabriel's church. You know, he admitted to the fact that he really can't kill people unless it's like his life on the line or Sasha's life or somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, I don't know that he could, because I mean, technically Judith's life was on the line. He really didn't do anything but throw the guy up in the air onto his back. I mean,
I'll make a prediction right now for next year. Tyrese telling Sasha about Martin, the dude from the cabin, is his death wish. He just signed his own death warrant. He's absolutely going down in the second half. I'm calling that shot right now. That scene was the clincher. There's no way he makes it through season five. There's absolutely no way Tyrese makes it, especially with Morgan coming back. You always got to replace a brother with a brother. Those are the rules of The Walking Dead we discovered last week.
We need, like, T-Dog 4.0 now.
Yeah. Started with T-Dog. And we're so deep now. Such a deep bench. Anyways. It was a weird episode. Did you get the feeling that it just seemed, I don't know, disjointed isn't the right word. It didn't have the same feel that, even though the first three episodes of this season were so crazy, I felt like this season always had the same, like, pacing and vibe to every episode. And this episode seemed off.
It was the wild card episode.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know. There was something about it that was very, it just felt different than the other episodes of this season. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that, because you look at how everything else has been paced. It was action, 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 breather, breather, action, breather. And this one was just like, you don't know where it's going, so you can't really, you know, put a finger on it. Like you said, you get the feeling that at any point in this episode, one little thing is going to cause a war somewhere. And you just don't know where. It's not like with the governor that you knew what he wanted to do. It's just like you're walking on pins and needles with these people. You kind of almost got that feel when they first got to Terminus. Was like, you don't really know what to expect from them, But I mean, people, you know, fans of the comic books obviously did. They kind of knew where that was going. But with the hospital being a whole new thing, and being a TV show only thing, it was kind of different because nobody really knew. Like, they didn't have a foot to stand on. We really didn't even know what was going to happen. So the pacing of it was very strange because you need to tie everything in together at some point. So you need to make sure that Abraham's group is still relevant and that Michonne and Carl and Judith and Gabriel are still relevant along with Rick's group and what's going on at the hospital, how you're going to tie all those people in together in 45 minutes. So that's why I think it felt a little strange.
Yeah, it definitely felt odd. And it's not like a bad thing. It just, I don't know, something about it was different.
So then you have this dialogue between Dawn and Beth, in Carol's room, and you know, Beth says that, you know, I'm going to get out just like Noah. He's looking for his family. I'm going to get out just like him. And Dawn's like, well, he's going to come back. She goes, I know he's just going to come back. And Beth says something that she goes, you don't do the dirty work. You make people do it for you, just like Edwards, the doctor who, you know, had Beth give that one patient the wrong prescription and kill them. Because, you know, you think about it, I mean, that person died at the hands of technically Beth. O'Connell died at the hands of Beth.
Officer McRapey.
Can't think what his name is, but Officer McRapey.
Yeah, Officer McRapey.
He died inadvertently in the hands of Beth, mainly because of a walker. But I mean, she's not wrong. She wasn't wrong about that. To say that, you know, all the work that Dawn has in place is not all the hard work, but all the dirty work, all the things that need to be done but that are hard to do are done by other people that are controlled by Dawn. So it's very odd, and which is why I always kind of disagreed with you in the fact that you always said Beth wanted to stay there. Beth's going to end up staying there. I'm like, no, it's too tight knit of a thing to where I don't think that Beth ever felt she was going to be a part of that. She wanted to break out just like Noah did, because you knew Noah really didn't want to be a part of that, and you knew Beth was the same way. Beth wanted to go back and, you know, be with Maggie and be with all of them. She didn't want to stay there.
Yeah. And then we come to the final the final moments. And Rick and the gang are escorting Blondie and Baldy. I don't remember their names, you know, through the hospital, and then they get to the doors, and there's Officer Dawn McBitchface, and she's got Beth and Carol, and everybody puts away their guns, and they start chatting, and they exchange Carol for the Blondie, and then they exchange Beth for Baldy. And then everybody turns around and starts to walk away.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. Then Dawn says, I'm glad we could do this. Now just leave Noah and we'll be done. Now Rick, being the sensible man that he's been as of late, flips his shit. Says that was not part of the deal. Except he said it like Rick, and he had that look in his face, like, oh my god, I'm just going to shoot you now, I'm probably pretty sure. And he probably should have. But she says that because Noah escaped, Beth had become her ward, and that now that Noah was there, she wanted Noah back to replace Beth. And now Noah, being what I've determined is a decent human being, just says, okay, she's right, I'll just go back. And Beth gives him a big hug, and at that moment, Ben, I was thinking that I was right. I was prepping my Nana and a Boo Boo speech, Ben. I was like, she's going to volunteer and stay at the hospital, and tell everybody to leave. I honestly was ready. I was like, nah, 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 boo, boo. I did it fucking again. I had a whole song planned out, Ben. A whole musical number.
You had the whole band.
Yeah, man. I had orchestra. The big band pulled up, and I was ready. And then she does something weird. She stops to say something to Dawn. Now, she's already reunited with the group. However, Ben, let me interject real quick again because there was a moment that I skipped over that I shouldn't have. When Beth comes back to the group, when they make the exchange, Rick, like, reaches in and, like, touches her face, like, in a loving way. And at that moment, in the back of my mind, my brain just kind of went, oh, well, she's doesn't really serve a purpose anymore. I, honest to God, in my brain was like, oh, now that she's back in the group, like, what the fuck is she going to do? What are they going to do with her? I honestly thought that. However, my Nana and Boo Boo speech was fully prepared. She walks up to Dawn and tells her that she gets what all this is. And she – I don't remember specific – Ben, do you remember specifically what she says to Dawn? Something about you suck.
No, she says something to the degree of she knows what she needs to do now. And – proceeds to, which, by the way, when this is all happening, this happens, like, in everything that is, we're about to talk about happens in the span of, like, 5 seconds.
I mean from the moment they walk into the hospital and put away their guns to essentially, effectively, like, the climactic moment we're about to get to, I mean, it can't be more than 30 seconds.
No.
I mean, it happens so fast.
So, she does that, you know. You got this rift now between Rick and Dawn because you over Noah, and Rick's like, well, he can choose, you know, he wants to go with his family, he's coming with us, he's gonna be free, and Dawn's like, well, fuck that, no. And so then, you know, I thought I kind of was thinking the same thing too about Beth. I thought she was gonna do the whole, you know, I volunteer as tribute thing,
yeah,
to replace Noah, and that didn't happen. And I'm like, okay, Noah's going back, and then bam!
She stabs Dawn with these little surgical scissors. All right, first of all, her choice of weapon was fucking that. I don't know what the fuck she was thinking. Unless she was going through the eye, that was a terrible weapon choice. I digress.
Yeah, because when she first got those, like, a few episodes ago, when she was going to potentially kill Edwards, where the fuck was she going to stab him?
Surgical needle.
She
didn't, yeah.
Because she doesn't stab Dawn in the throat. She stabs Dawn in the shoulder.
Yeah, like and not even like in the shoulder, like in the clavicle area, which essentially, if you get it, you know, in between a rib, I mean, it's just a flesh wound. Like, it's nothing.
Unless she's going for the heart area.
And
I mean,
it's a little thing, too. I mean, she just jams it in there like it's a push pin. And Dawn, in sort of a reactionary move, pulls her gun and fires straight up, and it gets Beth right through the skull.
She did.
And Daryl, like a fucking gunslinger of the Old West, pulls his gun with tears in his eyes, and just she turns to, like, go, no, wait, it was an accident, and bullet through your head. So first of all, I'm in shock, right? Because Beth is dead. Dawn is dead. Bam, bam. In 1 second, they are both dead on the screen. Accidental fire, Beth. Daryl pulls gun, Dawn dead. 1 second. Both gone. Just like that. And everybody pulls their guns on each other, but Blondie tells all of the hospital people to put their guns down. And Rick, you know, they all sort of, they don't really put them down, but they definitely are not on the defensive. And Blondie says, it was just about her, which I think is a really cool line. Like, that's one of those things, like, if I was in the writing room and I pitched that line, I would be really proud, because it applied to both groups. And then something incredible happened again. Rick offered that anyone who wanted to go with his group could come with him. But that happens after the hospital people offer to let them stay with them. And I thought that was also a really, like, it was, you were stunned and you were sad, but it was also a cool moment. Like, and nobody went with Rick's group except for Noah. And I thought that was an amazing sort of image, and, you know, people are surviving just in different ways.
And then Abraham's group, now with everybody from the church, is pulls up and they're walking in, and they're just stabbing a few walkers along the way. And when you know Daryl's crying, you know shit is bad. And you see Rick walk out. This scene, it reminded me so much, honestly, because of Rick walking out first and Maggie seeing him, of when Maggie comes out after Lori dies.
Yeah, it was very similar.
Because the first person that Rick sees is Maggie. The first person that Maggie sees this time is Rick.
Yeah.
And he comes out, and then you see Daryl carrying Beth's dead body, and Maggie just falls to the ground and just breaks down. I mean, everybody's breaking down at this point.
Yeah, Daryl and Maggie are going to be really badly broken in the second half of this season.
Maggie in particular.
Yeah, Maggie's going
to Maggie has nobody left but Glenn. She has no family left.
Yeah.
So then, what's cool after that is we now get to see Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan got his whole, his own little mini episode at the end all of a sudden. Morgan's walking around the school, and, you know, he's just happy, just chilling out, and he does some stuff, and it's not really eventful, and he stumbles upon the church, and he puts, like, a candy bar and a, I don't know what the other shit, an apple or some shit, and he, like, puts it on the altar as a sacrifice to the god. Morgan must not have been very religious back in the day before all this. I don't think he understands quite how that works. But then, Ben, he finds the map. He finds the Abraham map that says, "Sorry for being such an asshole. You should come to Washington, D.C. The New World is going to need Rick Grimes." And his eyes get real big. And that's the end. So Morgan's coming, which means Tyrese has got to go.
Or Gabriel.
Well, fuck Gabriel. If he fucks up one more time, he already is the current Lori of the show.
I could say he's worse than Lori, but I don't know if that's possible.
That's impossible. You are forgetting that Lori crashed a car on a road with no cars and a walker.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, I mean, let's keep that in check. He sucks and is terrible, but no one can be Lori. That's why the award is named after her. Like Lombardi or Lord Stanley. Anyway.
So,
Ben, this is by far the longest episode we've had in a long time. So let's just do this. Ben, give me a gripe about this episode. Give me something that you didn't like that didn't resonate with you.
Because we had talked about this morning.
Yes, that's why I'm asking.
And I told Lou, I go,
You have beef, is essentially what you said.
I do. I do have beef for this episode. It was not a bad episode. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very well-done episode. The problem I have is you kill off both Dawn and Beth. And now there is no endgame. There is literally no endgame. Washington is a farce. The hospital, there's no tension there. The hunters are dead. You can't go back to the church. There's no endgame here. The problem with killing Beth is it was way, way too obvious. People thought that this was going to happen. There were two things people thought of, not even going into this episode, but three episodes, four episodes, five episodes before this. Beth was going to die, and Eugene is full of shit. Both of which happened. I'm not saying the show is predictable, because it's not, but you always get that voice of reason character, and they're dead. name me one voice of reason character that has lived so far.
Daryl.
And I will tell you, Daryl just became the voice of reason.
Yeah, but so he's still alive.
I mean, somebody who's been the voice of reason for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no. Those people always die.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So the problem I have with it is, well, it feels very anticlimactic in the fact that we kind of thought she was going to die anyway, and you kill both of them. It's just like, now what do you do? The only thing I can think of where they're going with this now is the Alexandria safe zone. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, that is what's coming. I mean, that's where they'll be by the end of the season. I guarantee it.
But I mean, it wasn't a bad episode. It just felt like for a mid-season finale, though. I don't know. I feel like it was kind of weak in the fact that you just kill two characters that kind of were making the story go at this point is kind of weird because honestly, what did Beth die for at this point? So Noah could go on? What does Beth's death even mean?
Yeah, or so that Daryl and Carol could grow closer and that Daryl could suffer another loss and Maggie could suffer a loss. Dude, there's lots of reasons to kill off Beth that could.
But then what is the point of the entire hospital arc? It just doesn't seem like it even plays a role at that point, because there's nothing you're going to take from it except from Beth being dead. That's the only thing you take from it. I feel like they could have done the show without that arc.
Probably. But it was fun. I don't regret it.
Unless they just wanted to find a way, unless they're finding ways to kill off characters that aren't in the show, aren't in the comic. At this point,
there are easier ways for them to do that. I think that the reason for the hospital arc was also, like I talked about, there was that moment where to show us that other groups are surviving, because when we meet a certain someone, it's communities of survivors working together is going to become a very important theme. So I think it was important for us to know that Rick and company could deal with other groups without it ending. Well, I mean, this did end in death, but without it ending in a war where only one group is left standing at the end. You know what I mean?
I understand that. I do.
That would be my thought as to why they did the hospital arc. And I think the killing of Beth was maybe just a secondary part of that. I think the hospital arc was designed to show us again that it doesn't always have to end in either our group goes or your group goes, that there are still good people out there. I think that kind of was the theme of all this.
I mean, unless they're alluding to that fact with Beth and Don's deaths, I just feel like killing them off like that and just having them go their separate ways right now just kind of feels like, well, what was the point of that? You know, I mean, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not saying that at all.
You heard it here first, folks. Ben hated this episode, thought it was trash, just absolute pulp garbage.
It just makes me wonder, though, like, well, what the hell's the point of this?
Ben,
then? Like,
do
I mean,
you trust Scott Gimple?
I do,
then,
and I believe
then you
that
have
if
to
they
trust
go,
that he will show you the way, Ben.
Because every death to this point, at least for a major character, has had some significance, and I'm hoping that Beth's death has some significance. Otherwise, it just feels like, oh yeah, she's dead now. Let's just have Maggie be in more anguish. Like,
well,
I mean, Jesus, we talked about Abraham losing all those people. What about fucking Maggie? I mean, God.
Maybe Maggie needs to go through some sort of higher change, because if they're going to let Maggie be what she is in the comic books, Maggie suffers great deals of loss.
Oh, yes, she does.
So, I mean, it's just something she needs to learn to deal with, because worse could be coming. I don't know. I liked it. I mean, when I look back at the season, it certainly wasn't my favorite episode. The death of Beth, though, it was very shocking because of how quickly it happened. I think that was why that was a hard pill to swallow, not so much because Beth died, but because of, like, she died because of her own hubris. She didn't have to die. She had already been given over. All she had to do was just hug Noah and walk away. And it was over. She was going to go back with her group. She was going to see her sister. But she, like a kid, like a cocky shit who now feels like, you know, she can take care of herself. She's tough. She fucking thinks that she knows best, so she's going to stab this bitch in the shoulder to give her something to remember her by, forgetting that that bitch is a trained killing machine.
Not true. She did it for Noah. She didn't do it just to lash out at Dawn. She did it for Noah.
She did it for Noah. However, if she was smart about it, she would have just trusted that the group would get Noah back. Instead,
that wouldn't have happened. There's no way they're going just for Noah. They know Beth. Beth has been with them. Noah has been with them for, like, what, a day? If that? I mean, they're not going to go for one person that they barely even know, that they don't know that they can really trust.
I disagree. Or at least she could have attempted to go that route. And if nobody would have helped her, she could have gone back on her own. But she did not. Doing what she did was a sign of her still being immature, in my opinion. She felt like she was able to take care of herself. She was cock strong and head sure, and she made a rash decision that got her killed. That's how I take that, and that's why to me it's a tragedy. That it's to me it's one of the more tragic deaths on the show because of that. Cuz the transfer had already happened. She didn't have to die. She didn't have to stab Dawn. It wasn't necessary. She could have still told her how angry she was and thought of something else. She died because she got cocky, like you do when you're a 17-year-old and you think you've got your shit all figured out.
I don't think that's the case. I think in the back of her mind, I think she knew she wasn't going to survive anyway. Not saying she wasn't going to get out of the hospital. I kind of just had the feeling that Beth knew that her time was ticking anyway.
So, hold on, just so I'm clear. So you think that Beth honestly and genuinely thought that she was going to kill Dawn with those tiny little scissors and
no.
stabbing them into her shoulder? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. I think that Beth knew she was going to die eventually. I don't know how soon that would have been, but...
So you think that she was committing a ritualistic suicide on herself?
Like a martyr. I think she wanted to be some type of... She didn't want Dawn to live the rest of her life without thinking about the things that she has made people do. And if it requires Beth to die because of that and make that stick in her mind, then so be it. I think Beth was sending a message more than she was trying to just act out. A, it was really trying to get Noah back. And B, I think it was just trying to send a message to Dawn saying, fuck you. You know, look at the things you've done to people. And
if you want to send her a message, you stab her in the throat. That sends a message.
We never said she was the best aim.
Stabbing someone wearing a bulletproof chest protector in the upper shoulder is the behavior of a child. If she was really a mature and she really wanted to teach Dawn a lesson or she wanted to kill Dawn, she should have just done it. That's why I think that this was the action of a child. This was her lashing out. She wanted to give Dawn something to remember her by, a fun little scar. And that was what prompted the stab. I don't think she intended to kill Dawn. I don't think she was trying to teach her some higher lesson. I think she felt like she knew Dawn and she could get one more shot in without Dawn doing... I don't think she thought Dawn would kill her. Or even shoot her. I think that she genuinely thought that Dawn would just let that happen and let Beth leave.
Well, yeah, I believe that to a sense that she was trying to send a message, but I don't think killing Dawn was her intention.
Then why do it?
I think Beth knew she... Because I think she knew she was going to die either way. But she just wanted to send that message. And
Ben, we're both speaking English, but we are obviously not speaking the same language. I do not at all understand what you are talking about. And I'm not trying to be funny. I genuinely and truly, I'm so puzzled about what you're talking about.
I just think
you
that
think,
Beth...
So wait, so you think that she stabbed Dawn specifically so Dawn would shoot her in the face?
Because I just have the feeling that Beth knew she wasn't going to carry on. Like, you
wait,
have that Daryl
Beth... So that is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah. Yes, you have that Daryl Beth episode back in season 4. And you just get this feeling that Beth knows that her time is ticking very, very fast. I feel like she was aware of that. She was conscious of that. She knew her own mortality was coming. And I feel like she couldn't live with the things she had done inside of the hospital, killing essentially three people. Three people that weren't walkers. Because she knows she wouldn't have done that before. And she only did that because of the ways that Dawn carried herself and the way Dawn ran the hospital. I feel like maybe she couldn't have lived with that, those feelings of, you know, like guilty, a guilty conscience like that. You know, I feel like maybe she felt that dying was her only redemption.
I'm going to listen back to this, Ben, and I'm going to pound my head on my steering wheel. Because you just tried to pitch an argument that she stabbed her so she would get shot in the face.
You know a suicide by cop?
Yeah, I'm aware of suicide by cop.
That's what I think it was.
It's madness. What you're talking about is lunacy.
I don't think so.
I think it's lunacy. I don't think that she was willing to die so that more people would die? Because she has to know that her group is packing, and they're going to come out guns blazing. So if, like, again, I just in no way see that at all. I don't know. Because then all of a sudden, her actions are even more selfish, based off what you're saying.
So. I'm not saying that she wasn't selfish. I'm not defending that. I'm just saying that's what my interpretation of it. She very well could have been selfish. I'm not saying that she was or she wasn't. I'm saying that's my interpretation of it, though.
Outrageous. I refuse to debate this with you any further.
Because this is already our way longest episode.
Yeah, and she's dead, so it won't bring her back. We open the show with Daryl's dead inside. Daryl's absolutely going to be dead inside when we start the second half of season 5. Maggie will probably... If I'm being totally honest, in the comic books, there's a moment where Maggie tries to kill herself. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens again on the show. If that's something they bring back, wouldn't be puzzling to me at all. I also believe that in the second half, they will go where Noah was with his father before they got captured. Because if you remember, when we first met Noah, he told Beth about they were in a walled-off town. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they head next. I'm just throwing out predictions since we're... just about done.
A walled off town. Yeah. You think that's Woodbury?
Maybe. Actually, I mean, that thought had occurred to me when I first heard it, or it could be someplace completely different. Shit, it might be the Alexandria safe zone. Maybe he, you know, maybe it's better than when he left or some shit. I don't know. That's the only thing that sort of little bell that went off in my head about where they might go next was he had mentioned that.
They would have to. If they're going chronologically in order of the comics, that's the
right.
Pretty much the next thing that happens.
And if we just swapped out Beth for Noah, essentially, he better be bringing something to the table. So, there you go. I hope Father Gabriel gets eaten right away, like in the first 3 minutes of the next episode, because who would miss him? Fuck that little turd. Last episode, Ben, for 2014. It's a sad day.
They are going to have a Walking Dead marathon at AMC starting December 30th. So
I've seen them all.
Yeah, me too.
A couple times now each. So I'm as nerdy as they get about it. I was thinking about maybe rereading all of the comics over winter break. So maybe I'll do that. Be sure to go to Twitter and check out my Abraham Ford commemorative mustache.
It is pretty sweet.
It got pretty good there down the stretch. And I even tried to do my hair like his a little bit in the picture, specifically for that purpose, because I wanted it to, you know, so you could get the full effect. Yeah, it was not bad. Got pretty good.
So you say it was. So it's gone now, I take it.
Yeah, it died. It had to go the way of Old Yeller. It was just for November. I sported the Abraham Ford all month. I'm looking forward to what he brings to the table now, too, because he's going to be a very changed man as well, I imagine. I'm sure that there will be more fighting and bickering, because people are going to be dealing with some serious shit to start next season. So, it's going to be a rough 8.5 weeks, Ben.
Yes, it will. I might go through some withdrawals here and there, but I mean...
It's what I use the comics for, is withdrawals.
Such is life, right?
Such is life, Ben. Everybody, you can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can go and like us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. Be sure to email us at newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. Ben, tell me something that we can sell to the people.
Be sure to tune back for The Walking Dead on February 8th. And that week, we will be starting up again with The Chewing Dead. So be looking forward to that, because you love The Walking Dead, we love The Walking Dead. Who doesn't love The Walking Dead?